All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Monday, August 8th. I am Doug Norrie. I am sitting in a room with James Davis.
You lucky dog.
I am very lucky. We're in the DFSR offices for the day. I'm going to be live recording the podcast, not something I get treated to very often. James, I'm sure, is feeling the same amount of love as I am, as I'm sure.
Yeah, well, my heart's pounding with nerves. I told you, being here in the DFSR studios is quite an honor. As just a guest host, I believe I'm the first guest host to be in the DFSR studios, so this is really something. But
100%. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you set Major League Baseball lineups, FanDuel and DraftKings. We have a bunch of free content that goes up every single day from our team of writers. You get picks, stacks, pitchers, news and weather, really everything you need information-wise. And then if you are so interested, you can head over to our membership page and sign up for a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. You simply hit the button calculate, it'll give you optimal lineups, and then there's a bunch of other filters that you can mess around with it to your heart's desire. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Football coming really soon. We're really excited. So, James, it is a 9-game baseball slate.
That's true.
You are with me. Feel free to pick my brain as much as you want. I'm here. I'm happy. You know, usually when I have other guys like Austin or Chris or Nick on the podcast, I ask them a question, allow them to answer for 3 to 4 seconds, and then I go on for 3 to 4 minutes about what my own thoughts were. We'll try to temper it.
Yeah, we'll stick to the format. That makes sense.
That's kind of what I've gotten used to. So,
well, we got to keep it moving today. We're off to a late start, as some people know. Mostly due to the people playing Soul Sister at 10,000 decibels right outside the window here on the Jersey Shore. Lovely, lovely spot. And then also because our kids stayed up till 1 a.m. dressed in costumes, and which kept us up really late.
Yeah, James and his family are in town. Our kids are, you know, in the 5 to 6 range, and 1 o'clock is not a lie. That was what time they were up, so we were all knocking the cobwebs off a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one cares about that. Baseball.
Some people care.
Maybe. I care. Let's start with pitchers. Shorter slates like this are, when I look at it, I tend to think like, oh man, I hope there's an ace going here. Because when you don't get that, it gets a little weird. Tell me what you're thinking here when you first looked at pitching.
Well, we actually have two aces going today. Jose Fernandez and Johnny Cueto. Of course, they happen to be facing each other. So that kind of rains on the parade of, you know, trying to lock up a win. So neither is a huge favorite, although Fernandez is a slight favorite. It's a good park in Miami, so for big tournaments, I don't mind taking either side of that. Although if you're going to go just strict cash games, you pretty much have to take Fernandez from my perspective. He's just simply better than Cueto. Way, way, way. I mean, the K upside is just completely ridiculous. If you haven't kept an eye on that this season, 192 strikeouts and 131 innings is basically like double Cueto's
rate. That feels
good.
So yeah.
That's a lot. So yeah, I'll play him everywhere, DraftKings and FanDuel, snap shove him in there and not really think twice. I mean, is there anyone else you're cutting against?
Well, it's funny because actually I don't even think I would call Cueto an ace. I mean, I know that's like it's semantics.
You're gonna have to explain yourself.
I just guess that the K upside isn't there for me to be like an ace level. Like 8 per 9 is fine. It's good. The only thing that would probably keep him in that range is so few walks, only like less than 2 per 9. For instance, when you said there's two aces, I was thinking, did I just forget somebody? So it just doesn't strike me as ace level. I agree with you in the sense that Fernandez is clearly the play. The price the same on FanDuel. It's not even close for me there.
Cueto's 13-3 though.
Yeah, don't even get me started on this dumb win. Someone's going to come up. Actually, we've been pretty good. We have a chat room up on the site, and there's ideas out there that I disagree with, and we try to throw, whenever there's ideas that are posited by people in the chat that we disagree with, we try to layer it with statistical assumptions based rather than just, you know, emotional things. And the pitcher win thing actually hasn't come up too much, which I'm actually surprised about, thankfully, because pitcher wins are pretty useless stat. Unfortunately, they're count, unlike some other things, they're counted really heavily on FanDuel especially. So
sure, it does. Well, I mean, it helps to have a good team, and I mean, we definitely consider the chances for a win based on the money line.
Oh,
that stuff.
Definitely, yeah. And Fernandez comes in as a favorite, though that's dropped a little bit to start. He started at minus 150-ish, and now he's down to minus 130. That's not a great money line for him, but the better thing for him is the price has really dropped. You know, under 11,000 on FanDuel, to me, is almost no-brainer territory, although there's a game in course. It's a little closer on DraftKings at 12.8. That is a lot to spend. But he and Cueto are priced in the same range, and to me, thankfully they're priced in the same range, because then the decision for me is pretty easy.
Well, if Fernandez gets scratched at some point, would you play Cueto?
Probably not. I'd probably go cheaper. Fernandez just didn't pitch today.
You're just trying to disagree with me.
I'm not trying to disagree with you. I just think Cueto's overpriced. He's overpriced for his lack of K upside. I was doing a quick query about what happens if Fernandez didn't pitch today and Cueto doesn't come in there. So I don't know. I tend to trust the system. I think we model pretty well.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I didn't actually. Well, I'll get to it with the bats. I was going to mention Manny Machado, but I'll get to it when we get to the bats. After Fernandez, you and I agree that is the cash game play, and I'm willing to take a little bit of the risk based that the Giants are a decent team and they don't strike out a ton. I think it's still there's really no one close to tier. There's no 1A for me after him. But
no, I agree with that.
But after him, you have to roster a second starting pitcher too on DraftKings, and there are cases to be made all the time for tournament plays on FanDuel, because you know there's no I would never call a pitcher in a tournament a must play, because I think you can make a case for just about anybody. Yep. Really, but who do you see in that next tier down, or who, if you were looking to pivot off Fernandez, where would you go?
I'm probably Rob Whalen. you said I can make a case for anyone, so
yeah, some cases are stronger than others.
Yeah, good point. Well, it's actually kind of tricky. I mean, Michael Wacha is the guy showing up in the system now, and I think that makes sense on a high level, because he has been pretty good, but not spectacular this season, and mostly just the price is completely ridiculous. The $6,500 on DraftKings means you can take Fernandez and Wacha and still spend pretty aggressively on bats, so I do really like that. The thing I'm concerned with about Wacha is he hasn't topped 85 pitches in his last two starts, and he's just kind of been bad, so I'm not thrilled to jam him in there, but you know, it's one of those things where you have to overcome your gut and just say, sometimes the math is just there, the price is wrong, too low, we've got to move on it.
The reason he's showing up high in the system for us right now is that he's just one of those fine enough average pitchers that's priced low, and he just has such a great money line today. Like, the Cardinals come in, I think, is one of the highest money. Yeah, they're minus 190 right now, and that's been bet. That started at 185, and it's ticked up a little bit. So if you look at just, like we said at the beginning, trying to sniff out those win points, especially on FanDuel, but they do matter on DraftKings as well, that he just has a good matchup. This Reds team is bad. They get a huge park downgrade from an already bad team. And it's funny about the Reds. The Reds need... and it happened with Gerrit Cole yesterday. The Reds need kind of everything to go right for them to score runs. So, and I was I'm more in tune to this because I played Gerrit Cole yesterday. But the only way they scored runs on Cole yesterday was walk to Hamilton, stolen base, poor fielding decision, run scores. Then the inning gets extended, they score another run. Later on in the game, single to Hamilton, stolen base. Fly out to the outfield, score a run. My point being, this is a very bad team that after Votto kind of just needs lucky things like that to happen to them in order to be able to even string together any kind of offensive production.
Sure. Well, Jay Bruce is gone now, so that's right. An 880 OPS off an already.
Adam Duvall is just a human strikeout. All he does is hit a strikeout and occasionally hit a home run. Doesn't do anything else. And then really after that, it gets really bad. I mean, you get into like the Ramon. I think from like Ramon Cabrera, Suarez. I can't even remember who was bottom of their lineup.
I'm into it. Reds are a bottom 10 team in WOBA against righties, top 10 team in striking out against righties. And again, Jay Bruce gone. That's a bad team.
So anyway, that's the case for Walker. I love him as a starting pitcher too. All right, the pitching is pretty thin, I think, after that. Actually, it's really kind of just thin all around after Fernandez. But give me a couple other names. I have a name. I wonder if we're on the same page here. Who else do you like?
Well, I think it's worth saying before we go into anyone else that I don't like any of these guys for cash games. Fernandez, what's the start percentage on Fernandez today, do you think?
FanDuel, I would say 60%.
That's all? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the guy I'm looking at for big tournaments is Colin McHugh. I don't know if that's the direction you were going to go, but if not, that's good. That's a value add to our listeners to get to hear my good play and then your bad one. So we'll jump into that momentarily. But yeah, McHugh.
What, my bad play?
Yeah, whatever bad idea you have. We'll get to that in a second. For now, we'll go ahead and continue to talk about good plays. And that's Colin McHugh. Colin McHugh spelled with two L's, by the way. Don't get confused when you're trying to look him up. So McHugh, I mean, he was a guy that was starting to show some upside a couple years ago. And, you know, was kind of coming into his own as like a potential ace. Last year really fell off quite dramatically. And this year kind of quietly moving back into the same peripheral territory he was during his terrific year. The Ks are almost a strikeout per inning. The walks aren't fantastic. But really what killed him is BABIP against this year. A 360 BABIP allowed basically means he's facing Babe Ruth every time he gets up, or people are hitting a lot of seeing eye singles. So while the 4X FIP isn't anything to write home about, again, we're looking for upside here, and a guy that fewer people will be on. The 4.7 ERA will make it so not a lot of people are on him. And the matchup is actually pretty interesting. The Twins have been good against right-handed pitching this year, but like a lot of teams that hit the ball hard, they do strike out a lot. Top 10 team in terms of strikeouts against right-handed pitchers, so I'm on him. Yeah, he's a guy I'm going to consider in big tournaments.
Yeah, and the Twins are a team that ran hot a couple weeks, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, that had people, I think, sort of change their mind on what they actually were, and that's why it's really, you can't really fall into these traps of, oh, they rocked the Indians for a series and now they're a great team. It's just not true. They're still not a very good team. They didn't really do anything at the trade deadline. Oh, well, they got worse, actually.
No, they're a top 10 team and top 12 team in the majors against right-handed pitching. Like, that's not...
Yeah, jettison Eduardo Nunez, who probably that does make their team worse overall. All of your points for McHugh stand. And actually, the guy that I have is our projection system has pretty close in terms of overall projection. That's Gausman. He gets an A's team that is, again, they're just very weak hitting. They don't K a ton, so only 18% versus righties, but they also just don't really do anything else. And so he gets a park upgrade moving from Camden into Oakland.
Yep.
He's one of these, like, strikeout, like, he does have some K upside in that he'll strike me out almost a batter an inning. Doesn't really keep the walks. Keeps the walk relatively low. 373 xFIP. He's just a fine pitcher. He's a decent arm. The difference between, so on FanDuel, he and McHugh are the same price, about 83 for Gausman, 8,000 for McHugh. McHugh's a much better deal on DraftKings, where he's 6,000 on DraftKings and Gausman's 8,500. So that's one of those situations, like, well, who's mispriced where? And so I would say Gausman is accurately priced on both sites, and McHugh is mispriced on DraftKings. So I think on DraftKings, I would definitely go with you on McHugh. On Gausman, I think that he has some K upside there. The A's are a weak team. I don't know. If I don't sound excited, it's because I'm not. These other pitching options just aren't very exciting.
One note about Gausman, and this is going to be a new segment. It's our daily pitch count watcher. I'm working on a drop for it. You know, daily pitch count watchers. That's the beginning. This is a rough draft.
Sounds great.
Sometimes you hit a home run. It's like Bob Dylan wrote "Blowing in the Wind" in 15 minutes, right? So, I don't know if that's true, by the way. But however,
I can't imagine any Bob Dylan song took him more than 7 minutes to write.
Exactly. I heard a story about Bob Dylan on a podcast that I don't want to mention because the guy's a blowhard. But anyway. The thing about the McHugh-Gausman comparison, if you're going for upside today, in the era where people are tracking pitch counts really, really, really closely, McHugh's a guy who just basically doesn't top 100 pitches. He's gone over 100 just once since the beginning of July. So, you know, the Astros being a smart team, that just might be what they're on top of. Gausman, on the other hand, has pitched into the one teens in the not-too-distant past, so... Just from an upside perspective, it always helps to have guys that can go later in the games. I'm keeping my eye on Gausman probably for that reason.
And the Astros have shown it before. They pulled McCullers early a couple games ago where he was just totally dealing. And and they are a smart team. They are an analytical team. And, yeah, the pitch count thing is something we both have paid way more attention to this year. And I think it's
one of the great inefficiencies, I think. Because I think a lot of people, you know, if you're trying to build a model off of, say, some sort of preseason projections, you know, again... Pitch counts are to baseball what minutes are to basketball. Like, if you're only going to throw 100 pitches versus 115 pitches, it's simply hard to have as much production, right? I mean, that's like a few batters worth of guys. So.
And I made a mistake yesterday. Along those lines, I'm not perfect, most of the time perfect, but yesterday, I actually made a little mistake with Darvish in this sense yesterday, because they kept Darvish on a pretty strict pitch count up until yesterday, and there was a note that said they were going to throw him a little deeper in the game. Yeah, and I just didn't adjust the projection based on that, and it was just something I saw after the fact, so I felt bad about that, because I had adjusted him correctly up until that time and just missed the part where it was going to be extended. So it's one of those things that we're really tracking. We've been doing a ton of queries on it and running down pitchers that are key. Like, the Cubs are like this, pitchers that are just don't stand to have any upside because they simply will not go out there for 110 pitches. And yeah, I think you're right. It is an efficiency and we're trying to take advantage of it any way we can. I think that's kind of it for me on pitchers.
Yeah, that's enough.
I'm going to produce the show and be the host.
Hey buddy, I trust your judgment.
So, okay, let's move on to hitters. So we are coming fresh off of Manny Machado Day, where I was celebrating. We've celebrated for a long time yesterday about Manny Machado Day. We actually had a couple users take down GPPs last night, got some emails, which I suspected was going to happen if you just pivoted off our system's pitching, because we had Cole and Wainwright, on DraftKings, and Cole, and it was like Cole, Wainwright, and Darvish on FanDuel. And really, if you went with anybody else that had something like Dylan Bundy's of the world, even like a Bumgarner, guys like that, that maybe were a little more contrarian plays, we had every bat for that main slate, including Machado, who, if you, unless you're under a rock, he had three home runs in the first three innings. Chris Davis went yard yesterday. So anyway,
doing both cited in my Stacks article on Sunday.
Doing a little system touting here, where this is one of those things where, and I know we're going to get into today's bats, but it's a funny thing about baseball. It's about staying the course, right? There was a lot of chat yesterday leading into the games about, you know, Chris Davis is showing up in every lineup for us. Chris Davis has been bad. He's been really struggling. These are some of the things that we hear, and it's all true, and it's all true, and it doesn't matter, kind of. Like, so
your instinct usually should be good. Oh, I can get a guy who's struggling and his price is down.
Right.
That's like the whole thing about fantasy baseball. It's not like other sports in that way. And that, like in football, if there's a breakout wide receiver, it's usually because he had more opportunity. But in baseball, Alex Bregman can get called up and have the same opportunity. He's going to maintain the same opportunity, but if he starts off going 0-for-16, everyone's ready to write him off, like they did with Mike Trout or Dustin Pedroia, or the list goes on.
And I don't mean this to say this is a told you so. I don't. It's going to kind of.
Yeah, you're kind of telling him so.
Yeah, I am. It would have been correct to start Davis for our system. Correct to start Davis at these prices, even if he had gone 0-for-5. Like, and I still, yeah, and if he had gone 0-for-5 yesterday. And I know the Orioles aren't playing here, but it still is correct to continue playing them out there unless you think that there's something wrong. The price continuing to drop is like those buying a stock when it drops and goes lower that you think it's going to rebound. Like it drops low because it has...
Doug Norrie is not a financial advisor. Anything he said does not reflect the views of Daily Fantasy Sports and Rankings
but
Incorporated.
This is where baseball is so difficult. And this is where baseball from an emotional level is impossible. Even from a statistic level is very difficult because your confirmation bias will make you believe you made the right choice because the best players will prove you right 60% of the time. When you don't play them, 60 to 65% of the time, they will do nothing, and therefore your bias that you thought was correct going in, where, well, the guy's cold, or he's slumping, or I'm just noticing something different in his swing, which is a disaster. You should never use your own eyes to try to tell what a baseball player is doing correct or incorrect.
And the gambling concept here is being results-oriented, right? I'm sure you guys talk about that a lot on the podcast, but for a refresher for those who don't know, this is a concept that, you know, I think was popularized in the poker space back when I was playing. But the idea is that if you have aces and the other guy has kings and you're 80% to win and the other guy hits a king, you didn't make a bad play, right? Now, if poker's easy to look back and, you know, kind of analyze objectively, because at some point then you have complete information. We're never going to have that with baseball. What we do have is 120 years of the sport being played and understanding that 10 games doesn't matter. It's never mattered. It doesn't matter tomorrow. The next 10 games don't matter.
50 games. I mean, like...
In many cases, they don't, yeah. And you know, you can make some assumptions and you can move the needle a little bit, but by and large, if you're the type of person who looks at a guy and, you know, your first instinct is, oh, last time I played Davis, he went 0-for-4. It might not just not be for you. You know, this like... It's I play less baseball than I do, like, basketball or even football because of the variance, and I get it, you know, but...
Yeah, whereas I play more, actually, because I think there's still a ton of opportunity in baseball because of these. Because I think in baseball, more than in your sport, really bad ideas exist about what you should do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because there, now, again, it's the most emotionally draining one because just as baseball and just a lot of nothing happens a lot. or these little things really can add up to kind of go against you. Like, you know, what I was mentioning with Cole or Wainwright, Wainwright was bad, but whatever. But the point being, I think there's so many bad ideas still exist in this space for the people that are putting money in that there are so many opportunities.
A lot of inefficiencies.
Okay, so this leads me into this. The Cardinals are where I'm going with this.
Whoa!
I took the long route to get back to St. Louis.
Sometimes the scenic route's the best route.
The Cardinals are a team that our system has really pinpointed over the last few days because they have they've been in a lot of great situations. They faced Roberto Hernandez the other day. They faced Folty, who's not terrible, but they faced him yesterday. Today they get Cody Reed, the lefty from the Reds. They are very cheap. Because they're cheap for a couple reasons. One, they've been dealt some injuries, so they've been sort of spot starting some guys. And they've also just been bad over the last couple, over the last week or so. Now, it's accentuated for me, and I know for some of our users and listeners, because the system is going to continue to pump out Cardinals as plays, and that is going to be the case today. And I think it's correct. Give me like this. So this is like, this is like the Orioles thing from yesterday, or the Chris Davis, or the Bryce Harper. Don't even get me started. But these, this is a situation where our system is going to want you to absolutely load up on Cardinals. And do you think? I mean, are you buying that?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's going to do this for the rest of the season, right?
Yes.
Because as inefficiencies in the marketplace pop up, our system is going to hop on them and jam them in every lineup. And so, if you are the type of person who wants to come in the chat and say, "Hey, why are a bunch of guys who have been bad recently in the lineup today?" That's going to happen every day from now until the end of the season. So listen closely now, because here comes your answer. Well, Doug already kind of gave it to you. But yeah, of course I am. I mean, Cody Reed is not awful, actually. The ERA has been really terrible. The peripherals paint a slightly different story. He's also not good.
Right.
So we're not, you know, and he also definitely gives up the long ball if you're looking to stack for big tournaments. I think the Cardinals rightfully have the highest non-cores implied total today. That could be wrong.
It's right around there. They're like a 5.4 or something like that.
Yeah, they're right in the discussion. Yeah. So I mean, I'm all over it. I'm definitely not sweating it at all. There's a lot of great individual plays on there.
Right, they're going to run, and the Cardinals are really good about playing matchups when they make their order. So they now, again, we have to wait, because they will switch things up a lot. Like Carpenter came back from the DL, but then got banged up, and so he didn't play yesterday, and there's a chance, I guess, he doesn't play again, because they're probably going to be cautious with him. But they have a ton of guys that they'll throw in there. You know, Tommy Pham could hit at the top of the lineup. Jorko could hit at the top of the lineup. They have Piscotty and Holiday. They have righty bats that can do damage against the lefty pitcher, and they're all very cheap. And so when you get, and I think actually just looking down how we calculate implied runs, I actually think that the Cardinals have the highest. They may even have higher than Coors. It's so close. Point being, you have an implied run total that's, let's say it's even, we're a little bullish. It's close enough to Coors, because you have some better pitchers going in Coors today. The Cardinals are fantastic values, and you really just have to stay the course here. Our system's going to stay the course. It's correct, unless you just think they all of a sudden became a minor league team, which they didn't.
And yeah, I'm with it 100%. You mentioned the Coors game. I think it's worthwhile to dive into that one, because I think in many cases people assume that the Coors game will be the default great stack of the day. Completely not the case today. Cole Hamels, sort of a known entity, a good pitcher. You know, the Rockies generally these days tend to be pretty fairly priced at home. So when they're against a good pitcher, you shouldn't play them. Hopefully that makes sense. If you're not familiar with Tyler Anderson, though, Tyler Anderson is more of a pitcher than you might think. He was a first-round draft pick. He's had good results. He keeps the ball on the ground. So the 54% ground ball rate. If you're not familiar with tracking ground ball rates, 50% is not league average. You know, almost everyone is under 50%. So the fact that he's generating ground balls at that rate means that he's tough to put up big innings against. So the 10.5 over-under there is nothing eye-popping or that we should be all over. Really, the only guy I think I'm targeting from this game is Adrian Beltre out of the third base slot, and even he's not showing up in optimal lineups. But
he was earlier.
Worth keeping an eye on, just because he can crush left-handed pitching, and you know it's Coors, right? So anything can happen. Tyler Anderson does keep the ball in the strike zone, so I don't know if the whole industry is against it. You know, I guess he's susceptible to big innings, but by and large, this should not be the game that you start building your lineups around.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The run lines dropped there. This is one of the lower run totals overall you'll ever see in Coors.
I think it's
only 10.5 right now, and you're really not going to see. It doesn't really get. It really almost never pushes into the 10 range unless you just have two elite arms going in there, which you never have, because the Rockies don't have an elite arm. So,
but Tyler Anderson's the closest they get. Right?
And the Rockies have actually done a good job. They've figured out what their one weakness is with the park, and they've tried to target guys that pound the lower part of the strike zone and just do it. Either a guy like Gray that can induce a lot of strikeouts, or guys like Anderson and I think Bettis too, where they just try to get as many ground balls as possible, because that's really the only way you can keep afloat. And the Rockies stink, so don't get me wrong. But the other thing too is the Rockies, after Arenado, they don't really have much in the way of righty bats. LeMahieu was okay. He was actually better than I thought this year. The on base has been decent this year. But really, after those two guys, you know, Cargo significantly worse against lefties, Blackman significantly worse against lefties, and then after Arenado in the lineup, you get guys like Mark Reynolds, I mean, Ryan Rayburn. They're fine, but they're overpriced. So I think it's an unfortunate thing where the Rangers are too expensive and don't have a ton of righties beyond Beltre, and I mean Ian Desmond, but he's way too expensive. So I think I'm with you. I think our system is, if the run line stays around here, there's almost no way we're going to be seeing any Rangers or Rockies in lineups today, and I think that's fine. I don't think it's something you need to jam in just because of the games in course.
Yep, I'm with you. In terms of some other games to look at today, you know, just going down the over-unders essentially, there really is quite a bit of bad pitching going today, so you sort of do have your pick. The Brewers are up against Rob Whalen. I mentioned him earlier. Rob Whalen, not good. The Brewers aren't like especially great either, but when you're against a pitcher that bad, like major league hitters just can hit bad pitching. Some of the other high totals today. The Blue Jays have a relatively high total against Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah, I'm a little distrustful of that. Odorizzi's not bad, and the Blue Jays are a deeper lineup. They're mostly righty. They're so righty heavy. I was a little surprised to see
like that Eddie Encarnacion.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little surprised. I mean, he's cheap, so I kind of get it. Like, he's under 4,000, and so that's probably just a price play. I'm mostly just a little distrustful of the implied run total for the Blue Jays.
What don't you trust about it?
It just seems high to me. I think Odorizzi's like a fine enough arm.
Odorizzi, 4.18 xFIP this year.
That's fine. I mean, that's average.
Fine. That's average. Bad.
And that's not bad. I think it's like right around. I think like 3.8 is league average. Maybe he's a little worse than average. I don't know. It just strikes me. Maybe I'm evaluating Odorizzi wrong.
Well, the
maybe
thing I about Odorizzi is it's hard to evaluate sometimes with guys like him because his K rate is reasonable, walk rate not awful, but he's a guy with a 37% ground ball percentage. So especially against a team like the Blue Jays, leaving the ball up in the zone that much like just means, I mean, people are going to make contact, and when they do make contact, great hitters park. Yeah. They're also coming from Tampa Bay to the Rogers Center, so that's a huge adjustment for a guy like Odorizzi. So I trust it. I'm taking the over on the Blue Jays line.
Yeah, actually, you changed my mind. Maybe I was evaluating that incorrectly because that, right, so the opposite of the Rockies is true with the Rays. They load up on fly ball pitchers because you just simply cannot, you cannot hit a home run. You can't hit a home run in Tampa Bay with any kind of ease. So anyway, so that game is a little higher run total maybe than I, okay, I was incorrect.
Hey buddy, it's 10:45 a.m. You've already learned something today. How about that?
Well, I've been waiting for you guys to get up. So all right, so we covered the Cardinals, who I think are great plays. You mentioned the Blue Jays, which I think is great. Here's my other question. After a day like Machado and Davis had yesterday, that is very much on people's radar. People subscribe to the what have you done for me lately philosophy for baseball, which is generally incorrect. That being said, it doesn't always mean that you can be on the guy after the guy. And the Machado, the Orioles face Graveman today. Machado, Davis, these guys that you think will either.
I have the under on them hitting 4 home runs combined today. Right. Well, solidly under on them.
Well, so this is the thing. Do you think they go over-owned? / do you think you can also own them correctly?
I think they're over-owned, no question today. Mm-hmm. It's really not that great a spot. Yeah, Graveman isn't a household name, but Oakland, another sneaky bad park. And unless you're against just a complete bum, it's not usually correct just to stack in that park, frankly, unless you're trying to go off the beaten path. So I personally am not looking at those guys just because you mentioned the Cardinals, I mentioned the Blue Jays. I really like those teams so much better. And you're talking about competing for a lot of the same lineup spots. So.
Well, this is a day that strikes me as fantastic opportunities for tournaments. Yesterday was the same way. I mean, really, actually, almost any day is a fantastic opportunity in baseball because of what we mentioned, where just people are evaluating the wrong things. This is one, though, where Machado and Davis were so good yesterday, especially Machado was so good, that sticks in people's mind. He's, quote, swinging a hot bat, or he's, quote, seeing the ball really well, things that I just cannot stand when people say. That drives me totally crazy. But those guys will be – those plus cores, I think, will be – too highly owned because of the narrative behind them, and therefore grabbing like some of the other guys, the teams that we mentioned, Blue Jays and Cardinals, just makes for, I think, both a great cash game strategy because I think it's just correct, / a fantastic tournament strategy because they will just be owned at a lesser rate than is probably than they need to be.
Yeah, and I think it's worth, I should backtrack a little bit on Graveman. He's not bad, or he's not good rather, he's the sub-6 K per nine. He's not a good pitcher. So you're not lighting money on fire by taking the Orioles. And frankly, maybe the run line's just a little bit low in that game.
The park's really bad, though.
The park is really, really bad. And the park they just played in when they all hit all their home runs is tremendous. And Shields and Graveman are bad in different ways. Graveman, again, a more ground ball heavy pitcher. Shields, a fly ball happy pitcher. Shields has a similar K rate to Graveman, except a much higher walk rate, which gets more guys on base. So it's not quite the same situation. It's just not.
Yeah, and I think, and I just love situations like this. I just love that people just keep that what have you done for me lately stuff in their head, and it opens up so much opportunity.
It's a cruel world for daily fantasy baseball players who don't get that.
Well, try being the people that write it up every day, because it's just, we're constantly battling this. It's not battling. It's just I like it. I like the discussion. I love having the chat room. But it's just a lot of just trying to reinforce the same point over and over. Stay the course. Have a system. Evaluate. Right. Use stats. Don't use your eyes. Please don't use your eyes. Don't use the last 2 weeks. Don't use BVP. It's just a constant thing like that. I know people aren't going to always agree to it, and I don't know. That's just how I see our role.
Let's dive into then a couple guys we're staying the course on with in terms of good value plays. One guy I'm looking at again is Alex Bregman. He's a guy, yep, super, super elite prospect. The guy essentially I was referencing earlier about getting off to like the 0-for-14 start or whatever. Bregman, you know, was not phenomenal against Texas last night, but did go 1-for-5 with a double and an RBI.
Yeah, that was Darvish on the mound too.
That's 13 fantasy points, right, off a guy who's 2,500. He's still batting at the top of the lineup. Like, easy, easy play for me at 2,500 again today, and probably a guy I'll have in every lineup. And I'm going to be happy because you know what's going to happen is he's going to be great, and people are going to accuse us of hating him when his price goes up to 3,900. Now we're saying don't play him. People are like, he's been awesome for the last 2 weeks, you know. But now is the time to play Alex Bregman.
Yes.
From where I'm sitting. Any other good value guys for you?
I'm so heavily invested. I can see myself being so heavily invested in St. Louis and Toronto today that I'm tempted to say not really, because no one is really standing out beyond some of the guys that are showing up in our system. I mean, I mentioned Machado. I should say Machado is showing up in DraftKings optimal lineups for right now, so it's not it wasn't one of those like correct or incorrect things for us necessarily, but it was more just speaking to what I thought his ownership levels would be overall.
Right.
But he's a guy that for us shows up a ton on DraftKings because of that multi-position eligibility. So it's like whenever you can fit him here or there, guys like that are Chris Bryant's kind of the same way, where third base and outfield, when they're good players and they qualify at different positions, it just gives the system like that one extra opportunity to fit a great talent in. So he's there. I'm just so much on St. Louis and Toronto. I should have mentioned also a guy from that I've sort of forgotten that he got traded, but Lucroy heading into the middle of the lineup against the lefty in course, it does give him a pretty big boost. He's expensive, but not totally out of range at this point. So if you're not spending up for Fernandez, and even actually if you are pairing Fernandez and one of these cheaper pitchers, there's a lot of room on DraftKings to load up on bats still. So I don't know. The lineup I'm going to be most interested, like I said before, is the Cardinals, and that's really kind of where I'm targeting today.
Yeah, that's true. Value all over the place there. I'm all over it. I think today's shaping up to be kind of a good day.
Yeah, I kind of love it. Kind of love you having you here, buddy. It's just nice to be able to look at you when we're doing the podcast. I mean, I was kind of like staring off into the window most of the time, but yeah.
I was too, when I ignored you for that whole big stretch and asked you if you had any individual plays after you'd listed 50. Thanks for editing that out, by the way.
Edit that part out. I said, are you serious, man? I just mentioned 7 guys from the Cardinals. Or we just like read them back. Anyway, that's it for us today. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR, if you'd like to type in less letters. You head over to the site, grab all the free content you want, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. That only took me 3 tries to say those, string those words together. That is it for us. We'll be back live from the DFSR studios tomorrow. Hey, buddy, let's have a day.
Till then.